Hey folks, in this episode, it's all about Luminar AI. We're going deep into the software with my good friend, Nicole Young.
This is TWIP.
Welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today, I have the distinct pleasure and opportunity to sit down with Nicole Young. I've known Nicole since the beginning of time, the Big Bang, somewhere, I think we met somewhere around there. It was the Cretaceous period. I'm one of my oldest friends. Time's flying by. Nicole is an expert in Luminar, the software, Luminar AI. We're gonna be talking about that today, as well as some other things she's got going on around that software. Nicole, welcome to This Week in Photo. How the hell are you?
Great, Frederick. Thanks so much for having me back on. I feel like it's been like forever.
It's been forever. You remember our first interview? You remember where
I
that
do.
Was?
It was I think it was like 2008 in San Jose.
Yep.
And we were just sitting outside. It's probably still out there, like floating around. Yeah. Did you feature it like a while back? And you were like, hey, look.
I did. Yeah, it popped up in my news feed. They look ridiculous. I love it.
You look exactly the same, though. I don't think you've changed at all.
I've mastered this cloning technology. So every time I wear out a body, I just get another one.
There's a movie about that, isn't that there? With Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Altered Carbon.
Oh, that's another one too. I was thinking one where they actually clone people. So the older movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's not a big deal.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, yeah. All right. We're off topic. Yeah. See, we're off topic already. This is what happens.
We're good at that.
This is what happens when I talk to Nicole. We go off topic. I love this. But let's dive in. So let's just do a little background for people who may not be familiar with you. You go by Nicolezy, or you did. Are you still going by Nicolezy online?
I do. Yeah. You actually, I always like that you always just call me Nicolezy. So it's because it's my Nicole, and then S for Suzanne is my middle name, and then Y for Young, which is my last name. So Nicolezy.
That's perfect. Perfect branding. Yeah. So when we met initially, you were just sort of getting started in this world, and you hadn't written your first book for Peach Pit, and a lot of stuff hadn't happened yet, you know, and now it has. So to give us a little kind of, you know, the Reader's Digest version of the ascension of Nicolezy.
Oh my gosh. So let's see, the condensed version.
Yeah.
So actually I have to give you credit because I met Peach Pit through you at Macworld back in probably 2008, somewhere in there. We were just hanging out. We all met up, you know, you, me, and I think, who else did we meet up with?
I forget.
I'm totally brain farting this.
But okay, so Scott Cowlin, I introduced you to Scott Cowlin.
You introduced me to Scott. And then it was just a casual greeting, right? And then after that, I don't know how long after, I got a call from them saying, hey, we want you to write a book. I was like, whoa, because I put things on my blog and I'd written articles and it wasn't anything like super intense or super fancy. I'd been doing a lot more stock photography. That was really my kind of my full-time passion at that time.
Yeah.
And so they were like, hey, we know you have the Canon 7D and we would like you to write a book about it. So that kind of started my insert and intro into writing and publishing, because I did several books with Peach Pit and now I self-publish. I self-publish print books, mostly ebooks, but I'll do them on print, and usually those are available as well, like on Amazon or Blurb. And gosh, I sell textures and presets. I've worked with Adobe. I work with Skylim. I worked with OnOne. I've done like all these things and
all the travel. Companies, yeah.
Oh, what'd you say?
I said all the companies.
Right? All the companies. A lot of them. You know, it's fun to have kind of branch out. I love doing my own thing and I love creating content, like training materials, books. I one of my favorite things that I like to do is make handmade textures. So I'll like make like aged paper. What was my most recent one? Oh, my most recent one was actually really fun. It's called Artist Surface Textures is what I called them, where I just painted with like gesso and paint. It's like, it's to texturize like some pieces of paper, took pictures of them, and you can apply them to photos and make them look like the kind of a textured look. So I'm a very crafty person. I have a lot of fun other hobbies. So I try to like integrate and keep it fun. And, you know, like right now I have a pile of some arts and crafts stuff on my kitchen table that I'm going to probably start like playing with, me like, ooh, can I turn this into something that I could, you know, make like borders for a photo or something. So
that is so cool because, you know, your teaching style, I think, to your credit, is it's it's very personal, right? And it feels very like approachable and not like, okay, I got to figure out all this stuff. And she's speaking in Matrix terms, you know, you feel, it really feels like you're just a friend that's just taking me through the software and explaining things in a vernacular that I can understand and then take that knowledge and go apply it. So is that, do you feel like that was something you learned, or was that something that you're just being yourself on camera when you roll and that's what gets recorded? What do you think?
I'm being myself. I would say like, I've never been to college, so I don't have, you know, like a crazy lexicon. I don't have a huge vocabulary, so I'm not throwing in like 4-syllable words all the time. Mm-hmm. I teach the way I talk. Like if you read my books, then it's going to be very conversational. I like to also approach just my business in general, whether it's how I write a blog post or communication with somebody, like a customer support type of communication. I like to approach it as I want to help them, which just sounds silly to say that, but like, I've just recently gone back and forth with some, you know, some tech support that I'm just trying to figure something out. Something's not working. And everybody's gone through this where they get a reply and they're like, hi, I'm so-and-so. Let me see if I can help you. And then you can just tell they just copy and pasted something from their support page, but they didn't actually read your email. They didn't actually try to solve your problem. They said, oh, I see a keyword there, copy and paste, that'll fix it. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person. You know, I don't get a lot of customer emails. I'm not like flooded with emails every day, but when I get a lot of emails, when I do have emails, I read the email and I really try to help that person and say, okay, let me look into this. And really go back and forth with them. I solved someone's problem. They were just having some trouble opening Luminar. It was giving them an error. And I was like, well, I'm really sorry you're having that trouble, you know, because they were commenting on something I was talking about Luminar related. So they were frustrated. And I was like, well, when I have that problem, this is how I do this. And this is how I solve it. I got a reply back and they're like, you saved my Luminar life. Like that wasn't even my problem to fix. You know, that was just something that I'm like, well, I have this knowledge and maybe it'll help them. And it did. And stuff like that just makes me so happy when I'm able to help solve someone's problem. And really that's kind of what I do as my job is I want to solve people's problems with photography. I want to help inspire people with photography and help them learn things that maybe they're struggling with. And so it's just, you know, that's what I do and I enjoy it and I love it. I love photography it.
And,
so it helps.
And you mentioned Luminar. So you're an expert at Luminar and I know you work with those guys over there, a great bunch of guys, really dedicated team over there that's really trying to do something different and trying to expand on what both professionals and what average people can do with their with their photography. I think that's commendable. Well, so tell me about that side of it. And I want to then segue into, I know you have this course coming out. I want to talk about that a little bit, but your thoughts around Luminar. So part of the, and I'll couch the question like this, part of the quote controversy, you know, photographers always need something to be controversial and to rally around. But part of the current controversy du jour is AI, artificial intelligence. And is it the lazy man's way of making images? And I don't want no computer, you know, making decisions for me. You know, what's the deal here? So what do you think? Like, what's your position on artificial intelligence as it applies to anything, you know, and well, specifically photography, but learning and teaching people how to be better photographers?
So I'm actually going to steal something that I recently heard Rich Harrington, because he works a lot with Luminar and Skylum. He explained something so well. And I was like, I have to remember that because it's such a good way of explaining it. So when somebody has an issue, you know, you hear people, oh, AI, with my, you know, editing photos, I don't want AI to do anything. And then he was like, well, do you use autofocus? Do you use aperture priority? Do you know, and all these things that we already do with our camera that are just so natural that we've had for, you know, decades of having cameras, even before the digital era, whatever, maybe it is a digital
era. That's coming.
Before the digital era, you know, like autofocus, it still is making all of these decisions for you to help you. Like when I'm trying to photograph birds in my backyard, I'll set it to zone focus and hope that it finds that bird that's moving around. It's easier for me to do that because that's what I want to photograph. If I did everything with manual focus, I'd probably never get a good shot of something that's in motion like that. Yeah. So I have no problem with AI, especially when it comes to Luminar. I've been using it for a really long time. So it's not like you open up your photo and it goes poof, this is your image, this is how it looks, and you can't do anything to it. There are, you know, it has a lot of sliders in there. That Enhance AI is probably a good example, where you can move the slider up to 100, you can move it to 0, you can never use the slider if you don't want to. If you use it, you're going to decide exactly how far it's going to go. You can still mask it and say, well, I like what it did here, I don't want to like it what it did in the background, so I'm just going to mask it so it's only showing this area. It's not like you push a button and it auto masks it for you, which isn't a bad feature either, because I know other programs, like, you know, other programs are going to either have that feature or they have those features. So that's AI, in my opinion, is, it's just another tool. It's another way of using a tool. It's easy, you know, like I will say they have like a composition AI button. That's one of those tools that's kind of like, half the time, maybe 75% of the time, it doesn't really work the way I want it to. So I just choose not to use that, or I'll click the button and see what it does. And then I'll go, nope, I'm going to go back to the way I want to crop it. Or I click the button and I go, oh, well, that's actually not too bad. Maybe I'll tweak it a little bit, but I wouldn't have probably thought of cropping it that way. Help me see something a little bit differently. So it's just another tool. And I've been thoroughly enjoying using the program. I've been using it since before it was released, because I went out to Virginia, did a whole bunch of recording with them. If you go to the Luminar, the Skyline website, you'll probably see some of my courses there. I've done some stuff with them. So I'm really familiar with it. And I use it like on a daily basis. I really like the software.
I look at it, I look at artificial intelligence, to use, you know, in Rich's analogy with autofocus and, you know, all the camera controls, perfectly spot on. I also add on to that, does your car have an automatic transmission?
True. You know what, though? I would have a manual car if I could.
Yeah, I would too. But you want the choice, right?
Yes, like, that's true.
The automatic transmission versus, say, paddle shifters, right? So both will get you there, or a stick shift will get you there, but it depends on what's important to you. Is it important to be able to shift and you want to feel the road and, you know, that connection? Or are you trying to get from point A to point B in as quick and comfortable a method as possible with a control, like with the example of the stick shift car, you know, as you're driving to your destination, you could say, you know what? You take over. I don't feel like driving right now, you know, or especially with self-driving cars. I don't feel like driving right now. You take over. I want to sit back and just enjoy the scenery, or I want to engage and I want more control because these people are making me nervous around me. Right. So you have that power. Same for software. So you've taken this, you know, and I look at you as one of the premier experts on Luminar AI, you know, like you said, because you got courses on it, you use the software every day, you understand the limitations and the powers of the software. Tell me about this course. So you put together a course. It's called The Complete Video Guide to Luminar AI, which
it's
is
kind of a mouthful,
title,
I know.
I love that title. So what's in that course? I mean, aside from the title, is it a soup to nuts, just like starting from installation all the way through to a power user, or how do you structure it?
Yeah, so it's structured where, you know, I literally go through, and, you know, it goes through, I talk about the preferences, I talk about setting up your catalog, and it kind of moves into talking about templates and the catalog, you know, like doing other things in the catalog. And then I literally go through every single tool and I show how you could use it, why you might want to use certain settings. And it's, you know, I just tried to put as much in there as I possibly could. I tried to make it work both for Mac users and Windows users. So I include keyboard shortcuts, and it's going to show both of them there. A lot of just, you know, some of the things about the course that I know people, other than just the content of the course, one of the things that I feel that I stand out from with making my video courses is I like to really make it clear and show, like, zoom in on things and point to things. And I have a highlighted yellow cursor, you know, people, sometimes you're watching a video and the cursor is just going everywhere and you're like, well, what are they doing? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's just super easy to follow. I have closed captioning. It's optional. You don't have to use it, but if you want to, it's there. There's a chapter at the very end where I've included raw files. You can follow the whole thing, process the whole photos, or you can download the templates, click the button and see what the photo looks like. So I tried to include as much as I possibly could about the program. So if you are like brand new to Luminar, you can like go through the software and be like, oh, I know how to use everything. Or if you've been using Luminar, you'll probably learn a ton. I know, even as a professional photographer, I've been doing this for years now, if I watch somebody else's course on any, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be Luminar, it could be Photoshop or Lightroom. I'm always going to learn something that I didn't know before. And that's how you kind of build and become an expert in things. So, so I did my very best to include as much as possible. Oh, another thing I kind of wanted to, you know, I'm plugging my course, right? I have one of the things I included that it has been something that people have asked for in the past is I created a PDF, like a workbook video guide where you can print it out and you can kind of like follow along every video. You can take notes. It helps you because it's a big course. It has 64 videos in it. It's over 5 hours. They all average about 5 minutes each. So it's not like you're watching like 20 minute long, you know, videos every single time. So it's pretty kind of easy to kind of digest each individual video, but I wanted people to be able to, really kind of go through and really work through the course. So you can print out this guide. I'm also going to have it available as an additional purchase to print, like, you know, like if you want a really nice printed copy of it, that'll be available probably coming up next week as soon as I'm able to get that up there. So
this is where, as we record this, it's May 26th. So the course itself launches when? When is it dropped?
Thursday, May 27th. Nice. So it'll be available, I believe it'll be available if people are listening to this as soon as this is released. Is that correct?
Yep, this is going to be released on the 27th. So yeah, no, awesome. Absolutely. Perfect. So, and you've set up a discount code for us. So let me make sure I get this right. So if you want 30% off of this course, and what's the retail price of the course?
It's $60 for full price, but you'll get it 30% off. You'll get it for $42.
Nice. During $42 sale week, with the code TWIP30, TWIP30, you'll get 30% off until June 4th. But after that, my friend Nicole Z has put together a discount that doesn't have a deadline on it for 20% off everything that she makes. Mm-hmm. So if you get this, my flow of suggestion for you, dear listener, watcher, reader, would be get this course. And then once you fall in love with Nicole Z, use that 20% discount to get everything else.
That's a good plan.
Just go crazy. Just go crazy.
Go crazy.
Get all the things. You're right. Yeah. So. Excellent. So, okay, before we wrap this up real quick, I wanted to just get your thoughts on, and by the way, if you want to get the course, here's the link. Just go to, I'll put this on the screen, thisweekinphoto.com/Nicole. That's an affiliate link, but that'll take you over to her and also apply the discount code. So all you gotta do is click on the link and you're off into the races. So thisweekinphoto.com/Nicole, NICOLE. But one thing, while I have you on the hot seat, before I let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on positioning of Luminar AI. A lot of people are like, well, you know what? I'm good, dude. I got Photoshop, I got Lightroom, and I use them together. I'm already paying for the Creative Cloud. Why do I need to add something else into the mix? They just added Sky Replacement. I hear all Luminar does is Sky Replacement, which we know is 100% not true, but that's what you hear. So what do you think? For that person that's thinking along those lines of I'm in Lightroom and Photoshop already, what can this give me that those two powerhouses can't? What do you say?
Yeah. So I use Luminar in tangent with Lightroom and Photoshop. So if I were to tell you exactly my workflow, you know, I use it from start to finish. A lot of times it's teaching it from start to finish because it does work with raw photos and it works really well with raw photos. But I use Lightroom too. That's my home base. Lightroom is like my home base for all my photos. I've been using it since it was, you know, released however many years ago. So all my photos are there. Basically, so here's a typical workflow edit for me is open a photo in Lightroom, make some really basic, you know, raw adjustments, set the profile, do the white balance, all the things you do in Lightroom. And then I usually bring it into Photoshop. I don't do really anything in Photoshop other than I duplicate the layer and I convert it to a smart object. And when you make a photo into a smart object in Photoshop and then you add a filter to it, you can actually re-edit that filter. So I use that opportunity to go into Luminar AI. I add what I call like finishing touches to it, or add more stylization. If I do want to add a sky, I will typically use Luminar for that. You know, the joke, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody just uses it for sky. It's not. I hardly ever use it for sky replacement. I don't have a ton of photos that need like beautiful skies added to them. If I have a photo, it probably already has one, but it is nice to be able to do that. It's wonderful to be able to do that. So I use, you know, the enhance tool, Mystical. I joke about how that being like one of my favorites. It just kind of like finishes the photo. And there's, you know, there's so many other tools that you can use in there. But I use it as like It's just a tool. It's another tool. It's you. You
where
can
does
do...
it fit in there? Where does it fit? So if you're using Lightroom as your digital asset management, it's got all your photos, everything is in there, and you're working on a photo in Lightroom, raw processing it, and you get it to a certain level. Maybe there's, you know, a branch coming out of somebody's head that you need to get out of. You jump into Photoshop, knock that out real quick. And now you're back in Lightroom. So how, where do you interject Luminar AI into that workflow?
So let me start off by saying you can probably do every single thing in Luminar that you can do in Luminar, you can do it in Photoshop. But it takes like five times as long to do it in Photoshop. So that's why I like to jump over to Luminar, because I've kind of, you know, established kind of a set things that I do to it. It probably kind of helps define my style for what my photos look like once they're finished. But I know I can go in there and, you know, usually if you see me edit a photo in a video, it's a lot longer process because I'm explaining it. I'm kind of going a little bit slower. But if I sit down and edit something on my own, I'm just like, choop, choop. It probably takes me like less than 30 seconds to do like a full Luminar edit after, you know, going through Lightroom. That's so crazy. it's like I said, it's just another tool. It's the way to kind of polish and just kind of really turn my photo from just being like, oh, it, you know, it, I just kind of edited in Lightroom to, oh yeah, now it has some like pop to it. You know, there's something that just standing out to it. So I don't know. Does that kind of like explain? Does that help explain?
It totally does. Right? It totally does. Yeah. You use it. You're here. I'm an analogy man today. I don't know why, but you're using it like if we go back to that kitchen analogy, it's you're in the kitchen, you're cooking, you got your dish prepared, you know, you've cooked it, you've taken it out of the cabinet with your Lightroom cabinetry, and then you've cooked it on your Photoshop stove, and it's all ready. Now it's time to season it and make it amazing. And you bring it into Luminar and add that special kind of seasoning on it.
Right. Luminar is the like herb garlic butter that you put on top of the steak after it's perfectly cooked in, you know, your cast iron skillet. And then you sprinkle it with some chives. It looked okay before, but now it's like, wow, I'm going to eat this and it's going to be delicious.
It wakes up photo flavor, right? Yes.
Je ne sais quoi.
Luminar, Skyloom, take that. You know, Luminar AI, it wakes up photo flavor.
I like it. That's what my course should have been called. Photo flavor with Luminar AI.
You didn't ask me. See, you should have come.
Consult next time.
Cool. All right. So we'll leave it right there, Nicole. Thanks for coming on. And once again, folks, if you want to get 30% off this course until the 4th, the complete video guide to Luminar AI, just head over to thisweekinphoto.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. And forever, I guess, for a very long time, if you want to get 20% off anything in Nicole's store, including this course, if you miss the deadline, just use the code TWIP, TWIP. And you're good to go. The TWIP superpowers. So use those. Cool. So Nicole, before I let you go, what's on the horizon for you after this course? You're birthing this baby. So once this is out into the world, what's the next, you know, home run you're swinging for?
Yeah. So I think the only next thing I know that I'm doing for sure is I have a Sky Pack that's coming out. That of course that would joke back to everything. It's Sky Limit, Sky Replacement. No, but I do have a Sky Pack that I'm actually putting together. I have a book that I've been kind of writing for like, I feel like over a year, and it's just been like sitting there and everything else keeps taking precedence. You know, I keep getting pulled away. It's a good thing. I've been having a lot of work, you know, I have a lot of work that I've been doing with other companies, but now I'm like kind of bringing myself back to like doing my thing that I love so much. So I've got, you know, I'll probably write another book. I've got at least like probably two more training projects, you know, coming up before the end of the year and a lot of things in between. So
I gotta tell you, you are an inspiration, you know, both in terms of your knowledge about photography and software and all that. But, you know, for me, I'm a geek in this whole internet marketing and content creation world and all that stuff. So you are a beacon of light in that, you know, because you've built your business, you've got a healthy rabid fan base and an email list and, you know, quality content behind it that you manage in your own store and your own line of books that you're publishing. You need to write a book about that, I think. Just how you put all that together. I think that is the secret sauce. Right there.
It's a good story, you know? I didn't really go in like a straight line. I was like, I had no idea where I'd end up. You know, I started doing all of this stuff years ago and I was like, oh, let's see what happens if I do this. let's see what happens if I do this. And I just always go in a direction that is enjoyable and hopefully lucrative. And it's always taken me to a really good place.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your success and all that you're doing, and good luck with this course. I'm excited. I'll be diving into it. So
cool.
I feel like I know Luminar AI, but not like you know Luminar AI. So I want to get in there and get all the little secrets and things hidden in drawers and all that stuff so I can really get my mind around it. I think this is the perfect course for that.
Cool.
So cool. All right, Nicole, I'll leave it right there. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Frederick.
This is Twitter.